Well, once again, the weekend is upon us, and this hour of At Home with Gary Sullivan is brought to you by Zoller. You can check your backup sump pump from your smartphone now with innovations from the Zoller Pump Company. Really impressed with Zoller's Aquanaut Fit 508. The Fit comes equipped with Z-Control, allows you to test and monitor your backup remotely from tablet or smartphone, and gives you real-time peace of mind. And if you don't have a battery backup, think about it. It's protecting a lot of money down in the lower reaches of your home. Zoller's Aquanaut Fit 508 at zollerpumps.com. Thank them for their sponsorship. All right, we're talking home improvement, and our phone number, if you'd like to join us, is 513. No, it's not. It's 800-823-8255. That'll get you right through the side door, and we'll talk about your project and get you back to work in no time. All right, let's get back to the phones here. We got Fred. Fred, welcome.
Hello, Gary.
Yes, sir.
Hello. Yeah, got a lock set question. The lock set's on an exterior door. It's a Schlegel, I think is the name. Mm-hmm. Works fine. The key locks it or unlocks it. On the inside, I can turn the knob, it locks it. But on the inside, the handle just spins and spins and spins around.
So is it a lever or is it a knob?
It's a knob.
So when you turn the knob, you can't get out of the house?
Well, if the door is unlocked, I pull it inside, I can get out. But turning the knob doesn't do anything. It just keeps turning. I can turn it 10, 12 times or whatever. It never stops.
There's two things. When you have the lock set, the escutcheon plate underneath the knob, the round part's got two screws going through it. That connects to the outside. Yep. The knob itself, if I'm not mistaken, is kind of pressed onto the plate, and there's like a spring that holds that on. It sounds like that spring is broken or gone.
Okay. The spring, I mean, because I took it apart the other day.
Right.
I was just trying to see if I could fix it instead of replace it because I got it keyed the same as other locks in the
house.
Well,
one of the suggestions I would have then is go ahead and take the lock apart and take that inside part. So it's got the escutcheon, it's got the knob, and it's got holes where the screws go through, right?
Yep.
And take that to the hardware store and take a look at their Schlegel locks, but it's going to be very difficult for me to explain how that's on there, but because there is a spring mechanism that is attached to the backside of that escutcheon plate, and you'll be able to take a look at it and see what I'm saying.
Okay.
But I believe that lock set's probably going to need to be replaced.
Okay. I thought that might be the answer, but
yeah.
But you were saying if I could take it, maybe I could get a similar one, but well, probably not because it's pretty old.
You're probably not going to
when the house was built.
I think you're going to replace it.
Okay.
But you can
get a new one if you take it there.
Yeah, if you take it there, the advantage there is you're going to know what's missing. Yeah, how close the finish on the new one is, you'll be able to make some choices.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, appreciate your show. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thanks. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye. Also, measure from where your bolt that goes into your door frame, where it goes to the center of that lock. 2.5, 2 3/8. Get that measurement also. I know those are jams. Those bolts are usually adjustable now. But might want to have that information too. Bill, welcome.
You there?
Yes, sir.
All righty. Real quick on that lock. Some of those old Schlegels, they have a spindle that goes all the way through them. And if that spindle, where the two spindles screw together, a lot of times that breaks.
Yeah.
And he can go to a lock, not a locksmith, but an actual lock store, and he can replace that spindle.
That spindle,
easily.
Yeah. Usually if it's, it sounded like it was an old one though too, didn't it, Bill? Probably needs to be replaced.
Yeah. Yeah, it probably does. But number two, your LED light.
Yeah.
You can get most of those at any automotive store.
Yeah.
You can get that LED light. Mm-hmm. And if he said it'd take for his camper. And if you needed the decorative ones, he can also go to Walmart, sells a nice set of them if he's looking for the canopy. I wasn't sure exactly. I kind of caught in the middle of that conversation.
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, LEDs, I mean, they come in just about every shape, style, use. And you're right.
And he voltage.
He did say trailer, too. So, yeah, automotive would be probably the place to go. You're right.
Also, a couple weeks back, a gentleman called about putting carpet down over a deck. Mm-hmm. 30 years ago, I built a deck, and I treated the top of it with something from Sherman Williams that had a heavy grit in it, mm-hmm. and covered my deck. And then I had put that, like the green carpet, outdoor carpet, over top of it. Mm-hmm. Well, that was 15 years ago. I took it up last week and replaced it. Had to replace two boards because apparently at the end I didn't seal the wood very good with the gritty paint. But anyway, I took the carpet up and replaced two boards. And for 15 years, I didn't have any rot problems with treating it with that gritty paint.
Is that like
I only did the top side so the bottom side could breathe.
Yeah, is that like the Restore? Is that what you used?
I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
And I did my deck that way, and then my carpet was wearing down and it was faded in a couple mm-hmm. places real bad where the sun was really strong on it. So mm-hmm. I took my carpet up and I replaced two boards, mm-hmm. repainted that because I looked on the label, I couldn't find the name of the product,
mm-hmm.
but I had some of that old and I mixed it up and painted it again and then put new carpet back down. I really liked it.
Hey,
but
Bill,
my question to you is,
yeah, I was going to ask you a question and I'll let you ask me one. When you used that over that whole deck, did it hold up throughout that whole deck?
Yes, it did.
Did it really?
My deck is 30 years old.
Uh-huh.
Now, the first 5 years, every 2 years, I would go out there and reseal it, but mm-hmm. I got tired of that. I put that gritty paint.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
The name of it.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
I put that over it, and it lasted a long time. But like I said, I did put carpet over it, but it protected the moisture from getting into it. It kind of just, the water ran off, and I did not paint the underside. Because I wanted that wood to breathe.
Right.
So, and it kind of just, the water runs off of it and drips off of it. And like I said, my deck's 30 years old. And
it's good because.
Solid is when I built it.
Yeah, a lot of the people that have used the Restore, it's under several brands names. We hardly ever even talk about it anymore. But not just Sherwin Williams, a lot of people that made products like that had real problems 5 years down the road with it losing its adhesion to the pressure treated wood. That's why I was curious if you did the whole
thing. I put carpet over mine too.
And maybe
so that
was it.
Maybe. But my question for you was last year I had a 30 by 30 carport. Put in front of my metal building carport, and I put a pool drain in the middle of it because obviously all that rain, I just didn't want it settle in there in front of my metal building. But I've noticed over the winter it started chipping away from that. I assume water's getting in there and freezing between that plastic pool drain and the concrete. What can I put in there to adhere to the plastic drain and the concrete?
Probably that urethane sealer that I always talk about, that self-leveling crack sealer. Comes in a caulking tube. Urethane's going to have your best sealant properties. Silicone would probably be second. But I would get a self-leveling urethane concrete caulking And just run a bead around that drain if you can get in there and seal it up where it meets the concrete, and it'll adhere to both.
Okay, well that's why I was. I go, well, I'm not sure what to put in between there because, like I said, I knew there was going to be some chipping because obviously it was brand new plastic and concrete just don't mix.
Right.
But I was wanting something to make sure because I don't want to crack the concrete to chip back too far because I live in Kentucky and the winters, you know, the water and the freezing and the popping of the concrete happens.
Right. So, again, you know, the urethane self-leveling concrete crack filler comes in a caulking tube. Also, Quikrete makes an acrylic one now, which has excellent adhesion. That would be workable also. All right, we'll continue with your calls. If you'd like to join us, it's 800-823-8255 at home with Gary Sullivan.
Fix it right with a call to Gary Sullivan at 1-800-823-TALK. This is At Home with Gary Sullivan.
All right, back at it we go, at home with Gary Sullivan, 22 minutes after the top of the hour, talking a little home improvement. And let's go to Brian. Brian, welcome.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I do have a question. I restored an old barn. It was early 1900s. It's not insulated at all, but we use it for a wedding venue. The problem that I have is we did put a brand new floor in it, but the problem I have that in the spring and then in the late spring and then in the fall, the floors will start sweating.
Mm-hmm.
The way we've tried to combat that is we just put like floor blowers on in the evening to try to keep that down. So a couple things. I didn't know if when they poured the original floor, if they put a vapor barrier in the concrete, would that have stopped it? Or is this because of like the dew point? Been trying to do research and trying to figure out how
it
stopped it.
I'll bet you a hot fudge sundae it has to do with the dew point. However, you can test it. If you get a piece of, you know, 18 inch by 18 inch 4 mil plastic, get some duct tape and tape that down onto the floor. And see where the moisture is forming. If it's forming underneath that plastic, you got water that's coming up through that floor, water vapor that's then condensing, and then you would say, well, it probably doesn't have a vapor barrier. If the top of that plastic's just a little wet and the floor's wet, it's just dew point. So, you know, when you got a cold slab or and it's a warm day and you got warm air, I mean, I got a screened-in porch that's pretty much weather-protected, got the same thing. You know, I mean, it's got screens in it. But, man, there's sometimes it could have a puddle out there. It only happens maybe five, six times a year. But if that slab is freezing cold, and we have, you know, a day in the spring where it goes up to 60 and, you know, or 70, and it's humid. And I mean, the condensation on that floor will puddle that floor. So my guess is
that's what's going on.
Yeah, my guess is that's what's going
on. So how, and we have weddings.
Yeah.
And, so how do I keep that under control? Like I said, right now what I do and those types of I try to stay ahead of it, I put like a floor blower on to try to get the air moving so there's no – the air doesn't just sort of hover over the top of the concrete.
Right.
Is there anything else that you can think of that would
is the space conditioned at all? No, is air conditioned, heated, or anything like that?
Well, with the venue not being insulated, with it only being seasonal, you know, when it starts to appear, like right now, we'll turn on the air conditioner, and then that'll take it away.
Right. which is the answer to the question. I mean, that's, you know, if you see a, I mean, you can start charting it now where your problems become. And I used an example where mine becomes a problem. It's not really a problem because it's not a wedding venue, but, you know, if it, you might just have to, you know, condition that space 24 hours before the wedding so that we don't have that puddling going on. The fans probably help a little. It's not going to be a total answer to the problem. The true thing is to condition that space when you know it's going to become a problem and get that moisture and that dew point down.
Right, right. And that's what I tried to do during like the change of the seasons, right, to try to make sure the floor is warmed up. We'll go ahead and open up everything and let that warmer air come in and try to, you know, warm up the concrete a little faster.
Right.
And go that direction.
Well, and the other option there is usually in the springtime, you're warming it up, but you're also bringing in more humidity.
Right, right. Well, but do that when there's no one around and right, all that.
Okay.
So, of course.
Yeah, so I think that's your answer, to be honest with you. You know, either that or insulating that whole area where you kind of put a huggy on the whole room, right? You know, where you're not having to add the air conditioning and the heating to eliminate the problem, never letting it become a problem. But that's the answer to the problem. So hopefully that helps you. All right, it's 800-823-8255. We'll continue with your calls. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Start a project and don't know how to finish it? Call Gary at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
And back at it we go, 33 minutes after the top of the hour, taking your calls regarding home improvement. And we've been busy today. It's been a very busy day. Remember, we do this show both Saturday and Sunday, 9 to noon Eastern time. And that's when I'm here to help you with your projects. And you can always pick up the podcast if you'd like. That's on the iHeart app. Just click podcast, At Home with Gary Sullivan. And each hour is available to you. All right, back to the phones we go. If you'd like to grab a line, it's 800-823-8255. And Aaron, welcome.
Yeah, hi, Gary. I have a question. I refinished a basement about a year ago. I have an exterior door that enters into the basement, and I replaced the treads. I put pine 1.25-inch treads down the steps. And I sort of had addressed other issues throughout the house over the past year. I never got through with sealing and staining them. Okay. I'm going to readdress that. But what I found is all the dirt and mud coming in. I have a teenage daughter that lives down there, and it's the stairs are quite dirty now. The pine is, some of that mud is soaked through. And I'm sort of concerned how much mud and dirt, how far it absorbed it in there. I don't know if there are any suggestions of, you know, besides sanding. I assume I have to sand, but
clean sand. If you still see it, there's a, you could even use like a deck brightener for wood decks. It's a mild form of oxalic acid, which opens up the grain of the wood. So, you know, get a, you know, get a like good oxygenated bleach, that deck cleaner, and scrub the dickens out of it and see if you can get it clean. I don't know how far it's penetrated in. You know, I mean, if you got a lot of clay soil and you get moisture on there too, I mean, it could penetrate down into that wood pretty good if there's no sealants on there. So, you know,
right,
an oxygenated bleach, scrub away, rinse, see what it looks like, and then you could use oxalic acid crystals and make your own wood bleach. That's basically what it is. Or get that, like I said, a deck brightener, which is an oxalic acid. That'll open it up too.
That sounds good. I appreciate the information.
Very good. Thanks for the call. Take care. All right. And Jack, welcome.
Hey. Appreciate your show, Gary. Really do.
Thank you.
I have a two-car garage, cemented, about 35 years, 40 years old, in bad shape. And I hear you talk about Deich coating. Mm-hmm. Would this fill in the holes? And then what do you do from there? After,
well,
you got to clean it.
Yeah.
3,500 PSI washer.
Mm-hmm.
Would it fill in the holes?
How big are the holes?
Boy, there's a lot of, like, quarter to dime to nickel, maybe an eighth inch deep, maybe. I didn't measure them, but it's bad shape in the middle.
Yeah.
From the salt, you know.
Right, right. Well, so Deich coatings is a coating. It's not a paint, so it's thicker than paint. But on the other hand, if you're going to the expense in time, I've said this probably 100 times with garage floors, you're probably going to 66% to 75% of your time is going to be on prepping that floor.
Yeah.
So if it I would clean the dickens out of it, make sure it's good and clean. Again, we talked about an oxygenated bleach. I know Quikrete makes a masonry cleaner. That Masonry Defender, they make a masonry cleaner. I'm talking about oxygenated bleach. That's a great masonry cleaner. And clean that up and, you know, scrub it, agitate it with like a street broom, then take your pressure washer. You can clean it up that way. That's great. But then you got oil stains. You got rust stains. There's products that remove oil. There's products that will remove rust. And then you got these pits. And what I would do with the pits is there's a Quikrete product. It's vinyl concrete patcher. It's got a bonding agent in it. It's powder. Mix it with water. Let it sit about 5 minutes and get yourself a couple, you know, a putty knife, maybe 3 inches, and just patch those little divots and make it as smooth as you can. Now, hairline cracks, you know, the roller rock will cover those up. But, actual divots and stuff, I'd go ahead and patch those with a vinyl concrete patcher.
All right. Now, I did try that years ago. Mm-hmm. But now maybe I didn't have it clean enough. I just did the real little ones.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have lasted maybe a year or two, and then it just started peeling off.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the big holes would work better with.
Well, and another time, there's a lot of things that can make that fail, too, to be real honest. I mean, you did it on a really, really hot day. That moisture out of that patch will be absorbed right into the concrete, and that patch just ain't going to last long. I've seen it happen many, many, many times.
But you think that oxygenated bleach?
Yeah, I would clean it with that. I would clean it with that. I would, like I said, I would make sure that's as, you know, with anything on concrete or pressure-treated wood, that prep is 100% key. You got to get all the contaminants off that floor and get those divots patched. And, you know, no dust, no dirt, no oil spots, no old chewing gum that's dried. That's all got to be removed.
Yeah. The oil stains and the rust stains, there's hardly any of that on the floor.
Great.
And we were lucky there. But, boy, the salt I don't have to tell you, winter salt is just terrible.
Yeah, but it's very corrosive.
Now, is there anything I could, after I patch it, can I use some paint or something on the floor, or just let it be natural?
Well, you were talking about the roller rock. Were you planning on running that over the patch or not?
Well, that was going to be my question, if that would be all right, but I hear that's pretty expensive. Well, the roller rock, I didn't check.
Roller rock's probably about $2 a square foot by the time it's all, you know, down and in place.
Yeah.
But to answer your question, if you patched it, you could leave it like it is, but I'd get a sealer on there in 28 days. There is a garage floor sealer, which has a little bit of sheen to it. You put it on with a roller.
I'm not trying to make it, you know, a show garage. Mm-hmm. It's still just going to be your garage, you know. But
sure.
The sealer, who makes the sealer?
So there's a couple options here. Let's do that. So you make your patch, and it's probably not going to match. So the least expensive thing to do if you want it to match is there's a resurfacer, which is a cementitious powder mixed with water, and it's kind of a coating. You can distribute that with a broom and squeegee type. That's probably around 40 cents a square foot, just to give you an idea. And then you could put a sealer on top of that. I mentioned Masonry Defender before. Masonry Defender makes a garage floor sealer, which is very good. It's kind of a shiny finish. And you can leave your patch like it is. I mean, you don't need, you know, if you don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to say put a sealer on there to add protection so that the salt just doesn't become a problem the very next year.
Yes, I would definitely want to do that. But a Masonry Defender, could I buy it at Lowe's or something?
No, you can probably get other brands at Lowe's. Masonry Defender is a website where they have different types of masonry seal lints specific projects. So masonrydefender.com, you can get it specifically for a garage floor. If you go to a big box store, other hardware stores, you would look for a masonry sealer that resist hot tire pickup. Because in a garage, you know, you go drive 30 miles on the expressway and pull in, those tires are hot.
Right.
And if you just use regular masonry sealer or regular masonry paint, the heat from those tires can lift that paint right off. And it'd be like putting an iron on it. So it's got to resist hot tire pickup. Drylock, we've talked about before. They make a garage floor paint that resists hot tire pickup. You could use that. You could use some of these do-it-yourself epoxy paint kits. You could use the roller rock. I mean, it can go on and on and on. It's just a matter of where you want to take it. But you can certainly just do the patch and then get a good garage floor sealant on there, like the Masonry Defender.
Lowe's and anything like that would have a good type sealer?
I'm sure they do. I don't have the brand name or the name of the sealer. But, yeah, if you go in and just look for a sealer for garage floors, it's just a specific type of sealer, right? It's got to talk about garage floors and hot tire pickup resistant. Because those garage floors are troweled really tight, too. So it's kind of more of a surface. I mean, if you want to do something where you patch and then do a very low-key sealant, do this. Use the vinyl concrete patcher. And then that same company, Quikrete, has one called Cure Seal. And Cure Seal is very easy to apply. You can just put that on with a roller. It'll give a satiny look, and it'll give you good protection against rock salt. And do it about every 3 years. Cure Seal. All right, we'll continue with your calls. You are at home with Gary Sullivan.
Help for your home is just a click away at GarySullivanOnline.com. This is At Home with Gary Sullivan.
Hey, back at it we go, 11 minutes before the top of the hour, taking your calls about your home projects. Our number is 800-823-8255. And feel free to grab a line. We're going to get back to work. And Dan, welcome.
Hey, Gary, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, so I'm doing a little deck work, right? You know, I know in the past you've talked about I'm going to reseal it / stain it, using oxygenated bleach. Never used it before, right? So I guess the question is, How aggressively do you have to scrub it after you put it on before you rinse it off?
Before you rinse it off, I use the word agitate. So, I mean, you don't have to really, really scrub it. If you put the oxygenated bleach on, you let it sit there for about 10 minutes. Just kind of think about letting it do the work, okay? So if you put it on there, I would say you would agitate that oxygenated bleach after 10 minutes about the same way you would use a brown fiber street broom to sweep the driveway off.
Okay.
And then you would rinse. And if you wanted to skip that part, you wanted to take, you know, a 2400 PSI pressure washer and just use that as kind of a rinsing agent, nothing higher than that, 18 inches away from the deck floor, 25-degree nozzle, you could do that.
In lieu of agitating it, just use the pressure washer?
You could do that, yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, just, perfect.
Yeah,
so then the next question is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just want to caution everybody because everybody kind of sometimes has a tendency to hear what they want to hear. So a pressure washer, when I just said that, people are going like, he says never to use a pressure washer. Well, you can use it, but use it as, you know, if you had 2,000 to 2,400 and you use a 25 or a 40-degree nozzle, holding it perpendicular to the surface, 18 inches away, and sweep through it, no problem. But I guarantee you somebody's going to like, well, if I use 3,000, I'm going to get it done faster. That's a problem. Just a caution there. Just as we said, if you use that as the agitating part, it'll work fine. Just don't get overly aggressive with it.
Okay. Right. Right. Perfect. Okay. And then, you know, step two, right, is is the, you know, stain it or, you know, treat it.
Right.
So in the past, I've historically always used like a semi-transparent.
Okay.
But the deck's like 27 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And like on the railing, the top railing, it's like a 4x1 that sits on top of it. It's getting kind of weathered, right?
Right.
So is there something I could put on there to kind of like prevent splinters, for lack of a better way to explain that, you know, or even some of the boards are getting a little old, you know?
Yeah. Well, that one fella.
Semi-transparent on.
Yeah. I mean, so there's two kinds of stains, the semi-transparent, which you've been using, and there's also a solid color stain, which, you know, kind of looks like paint, but it offers more protection from the sun. So it will minimize splintering and splitting of the wood. And it's a little thicker. It lays on the surface. And we see a lot of that going on where we're using semi-transparents on the floor of the deck, but we're using the solid color stains on the rails and spindles. It's going to last longer, going to offer better protection. The fellow that called before, and I was asking him if it was that one deck product called Restore, that was a coating, and it's still out there, but doggone it, I've just not had all that great luck with it. He did. It's more, you know, get about 80 square feet to a gallon. It's real thick. It'll even fill split wood and splinters. But it has some issues with adhesion long term. And sometimes people have used that, invest a lot of time and money, and then it begins to peel, even after following the directions. So probably wouldn't use that. I'd take a look at probably your solid color stain.
Okay. So if you do like the mix and match, would they be the same color, you know?
No, they won't even look the same, and people kind of using it as an accent.
Yeah.
So your floor, it's like comparing wood stain to paint, okay? Your oak floor that's stained, you know, golden oak isn't going to match your wall paint. So, you know, they're going to be different. Your solid color stains might come in 50, 60 different colors. Your deck stains, semi-transparent, is probably going to come in like six colors.
Okay. I mean, any recommendation on product brands, or is it all pretty, they all pretty similar? Or probably
not? I mean, you kind of get what you pay for. I can tell you about deck sealers that are $50 a gallon, and then a product like Super Deck, which is a good deck sealer. I mean, it might be $25. The $50 one gets you an extra year or so. It's a latex. That one's called Defy. Defy wood stain. But, you know, and you also got to decide whether you want to go with an acrylic, a water base, or do you want to go with an oil? A water base lasts a little bit longer, but they're sometimes challenged about penetrating into the wood. So you definitely got to use the oxygenated bleach and then come back and maybe use a deck brightener, which is that oxalic acid I was speaking of before. That opens up the pores, and you could use that either on oil base or acrylic. It'll offer deeper penetration, and, you know, that means it'll last longer.
Right. Hey, and then last question. I appreciate it. So what's the timing, right? You do the oxygenated bleach, then you got to wait a day
to
put the brightener on?
Nope. You could do the brightener right after you're finished.
Can you? And then how long you got to wait before you put the stain on it?
So that depends. If you go with a water-based stain, usually the time is 2 hours. If you go with an oil-based stain, it's usually 2 days. So whichever one you choose, we're talking about this last week, whichever way you choose, make sure you read the instructions on, you know, time to coat after cleaning. It'll actually say rain-free, which means water-free. And it'll give you your answer. All right. Thank you much for the call. I appreciate it. If you're on hold, sit tight. We'll get you on the other side of the hour, I promise. I'm going to tell you about a product called Tear Mender. They have adhesive that repairs tears in all types of fabric. And it is an adhesive. I mean, you could patch a hole in your jeans, your coat, fabric like outdoor furniture. It's great stuff. Check it out. It's tearmender.com. All right, Dave, Don, Tom, and Ron, sit tight. We'll get to you. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.
Weekends mean a never-ending list of things to do around your home. Get help at 1-800-823-TALK. You're at home with Gary Sullivan.